Look at the extremes. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is, what's my next word? Church, listen to your pastor. Your choices for walking with God are death and life. He is not telling people, now if this isn't happening, you're not saved. He's saying, Brother David, I'm writing to save people, and you're either living like a dead man or you are alive and well. Romans 8, verse number 10, preaching this morning on resurrection power. Resurrection power, verse number 10 through 14. And the Bible says, and if Christ be in you, the body, the natural man, the flesh, is dead. Present tense. The body, if Christ is in you. So I'm going to ask you for a little interaction today because I've got a simple message and I just want to keep you with me from start to finish. If you're safe, say amen. That means Christ, that means the Spirit of God lives in you. That also means that old man is dead in God's eyes. Okay, let's keep going. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, the word means to make alive, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that, please say the next three words, right now. Listen to your pastor. You don't have to go to the altar after you get saved and ask to be baptized by the Spirit. You don't have to come and ask Him to do a second work of grace. It was all done the first time. Now, you need to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, okay? So you say, wow, what an amazing comparison that is. Okay, thank God I've never tasted wine, beer, alcohol, whiskey, vodka, any of those. Proverbs 20 says, he that doeth so is not wise. Baptists everywhere are arguing whether or not it's a sin to drink alcohol. We're not arguing about that at Progress Baptist Church. You can't tell me one good thing that's ever come to anybody's life because of alcohol. Okay, so we're not even going there. But the same way it takes over your body, he said, I want the Spirit to control you. I want you to be under the control of the Holy Spirit just like you used to be under the control of the bottle. So, if Christ be in you, the body is dead. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Now, do me a favor. I'm going to read the rest of the verse, but skip all the way down to the end of verse 13. Put your finger on mortify. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. So mortify the deeds of your body, and ye shall live. Okay? I'll read the rest of it in a minute. 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now go back to 12, because I don't want to skip any words. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do... There we go. See that? The thought about being a debtor jumps all the way down to, okay, now you need to mortify the deeds of the body. And that's the only reason I did that. I'm not correcting your Bible. I'm following the thought. Paul, I love him, and he's inspired by the Holy Ghost, but God used him as a human instrument, and he had ADD. I hope I don't get in trouble one day for saying that, because there's a record book, and everything I've ever said is written down in it. Y'all, he said, I'm a debtor, but then before he got to tell us what I was a debtor to do, he went off on this, the works of the flesh and following the flesh. Okay, and God told him to, but God also knows I'm not medicated and I need to understand that I'm a debtor to come to, here's where I'm a debtor, and this other part's important too. So that's what I wanted, that's why I did that. 14 last time, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This message, I didn't plan it this way, but God did. People ask me, my friends do, they'll say, how do you do a 9:30 message and then an 11:30? And you know, how does that work? What is that like? And then they say, you know, what do you people think about it? I said, well, they keep coming. I guess you'll just have to ask them. So normally what helps me the most mentally is if my two messages are just total opposite ends of the spectrum. A series on, we shall judge angels, and then the church in Laodicea, just that kind of way. I honestly, it was after I had studied and prepared when I realized how the first message and this message are going together the way they do. But I trust God with all of that. And we've been in Romans 6, 7, and 8 for quite a while now, but I've got a real simple thought that I want you to get. And then we'll be done. I want to ask you a question. Are you you can answer if you want to. Are you living in resurrection power? Sin shall not have dominion over you. But, I said it, and I mean no harm, no unkindness to anybody whose family, their physical family, is less than ideal. But I said in the first service, Brother Rochester, I said, are you living like an orphan? Don't live like an orphan. You've got a father. And that heavenly Father sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. When Jesus went back to heaven, he said, I'll send the Comforter to you. And that way, I won't just be in one place. Jesus limited himself while he was on this earth. But boy, when he sent the Comforter to be with us, he is no longer limited. He is here. He was with my friends in the Philippines 12 hours ago when they had their service on Sunday morning. Okay, it's all, the time zones. He's with our friends all over the world that are worshiping right now. The same Holy Ghost that has warmed your heart today can do that all over the world, all at the same time. You can be praying, you can be praying, they can be praying in all those languages. And it doesn't sound like the Tower of Babel in heaven. It's all clear to God. Y'all, that's amazing. Most of us have made God way too small. And I just want to do what my wife said. Just ask him a hard thing. And if that's starting your car, do it. Get bigger than that. Lord, I want to give. Lord, I want to tell. Lord, I want to do this. Tell him, ask him, let him be that big in your life. So I'm preaching this morning on resurrection power. Verse number 10, the extremes. Look at the extremes. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is, what's my next word? Church, listen to your pastor. Your choices for walking with God are death and life. He is not telling people, now if this isn't happening, you're not saved. He's saying, Brother David, I'm writing to save people, and you're either living like a dead man or you are alive and well. And I promise you, with all the tenderness I can generate as a pastor, I am preaching to people this morning who, if you had to check, I'm walking in victory or I'm walking in defeat, I'm walking in life or I'm a walking dead man. Too many of us in this room who have enjoyed the services, enjoyed the fellowship, enjoyed the songs, enjoyed everything God's done. And that's, why you can enjoy it even though you're really over here on, not living in resurrection power? Because there's something inside of you who goes, that's what I want. That's what I want. That's the kind of life I want. So I know this is true. People have said these words to me. They would look at somebody else in the church and go, that's the kind of Christian I want to be. You want to know why I'm glad there's five families here? Is it five now? Are we up to six? Five families in their 80s. Do you want to know why I'm glad about that? Because they show us how it's done. You've got one option when you get to 80. You can be a joyful Christian or you can be a grump. You can be mean and bitter and hateful and short, or you can just have God all over you. Now, I know it's not 24/7. I know we all have our days. Say amen right there. Elbow whichever party needs to be reminded. Okay, I'm glad I'm preaching and she can't reach me with her elbow. Here's what I want you to understand. Then I'm moving to the options are very extreme, Marty. Here's what we think. Well, I'm kind of here, and every now and then, if the spirit's just right and the choir doesn't miss any notes, I get over here. I just kind of wobble on the axe a little bit. No, you're either alive or dead. Saved. I'm preaching to saved people. If you're not saved, you need to repent of your sins, come to Jesus, and get born again. I love you, and I don't want anybody to leave here and go to hell. I want everybody to leave here and be saved. But I'm preaching to saved people, and you're either living like a dead man or you're walking in life. And death and life are very extreme. Y'all follow me? You ever been with a loved one, and the doctor... I've had multiple people tell me this. I've never experienced it. I've had multiple people tell me this. They said my loved one is on life support and they're keeping them alive. Brother Kenny, I've had multiple people, not one, not two, not three. I've had multiple people tell me, Miss Danielle, they said, I knew in my heart when that soul left that body, and yes, they were pumping those lungs and they were putting circulation through, they were pumping that blood through there, but they said they were gone. They didn't need, I'm not being ugly or unkind if you've had to deal with all this. They didn't need to unplug anything. They were in the presence of God, and this had become nothing more than mechanics. The reason I'm saying that is this: there is all the difference in the world in death and life. And you're not, you know, I'm weak, I'm a little stronger today, I'm weak. I want you to understand, if you're not walking in resurrection power, you're a dead man. And that's miserable. You want to know why it's miserable? It's bad enough to have the treasure of the Holy Spirit inside an earthen vessel, but to be living as a dead man, and there's life all wrapped up inside of me, right? It's cooling off, and winter's coming, okay? I'm looking forward to fall, not so much winter, but I'm already looking forward to spring again into September. Okay, I think that's a sign of age, but I ain't getting old. Church discipline right there. Those seeds, those pods, those buds next March, April, and May, do they just come out like this? No. You can stand there and watch them, all you people that grow stuff. You can watch them. It looks like an explosion. Have you ever seen a time-released video of a pod opening like that? The word is explosion. That's if you're walking after the natural man, but you're a born-again saved man, there's something inside of you that wants to burst forth into life, and you're trying to smother it. You ever smothered or had anybody try to prank, or hopefully not really try to, but yeah, it's horrible. If you're born again and you're walking after the flesh, you're trying to smother the Holy Ghost that's living inside of you. Now, you're not going to win, but it's going to be a miserable existence. Please understand, and I'm moving on, the extremes. Quit. First church folks are good at anything. We're good at fooling ourselves. And quit fooling ourselves and saying, well, I'm struggling a little, but I think I'm walking in resurrection power. Run that by Lazarus. How's it going, Lazarus? This is how it feels to be free, bro. Y'all ain't getting what y'all ought to be swinging from chandeliers if we had any. Lazarus, is this resurrection power? After they unwound him. Somebody's got it, but you still wound up. Lazarus, are you walking in resurrection power? I'm not sure. We ought to be sure. There ought to be as much difference in your life as a born-again Christian as there was when Lazarus got out of the grave compared to when he was in the grave. the reason I'm staying there longer than I wanted to, and I'll give an invitation in a minute if the Holy Ghost says to do it. The reason I'm staying there is if you're a saved man living like a lost man in death, and you need to walk in resurrection power, I want somebody to say, I'm tired of living like a dead man when I'm saved. If the spirit dwells in you, the body is dead. Now, you say, Brother Ames, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Well, I preach on assurance of salvation about once or twice a month, okay? I'll help you. We'll do whatever we take for you to either find out you're saved and live in victory or find out you're lost and get born again. Say amen right there. Don't need to walk through life wondering if you're saved. That's miserable. The extremes. Verse 11, go. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, I'm going to ask you again. I told you I wanted to be interactive today. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, if that defines you, say amen. Oh, that was weak. I didn't like that. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, if that describes you, say amen. I'm looking. Okay, that sound better. He that raised up from the Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Listen to me, I'm not a smart aleck. I could be, but I'm not. Y'all, that ain't talking about the resurrection. That's not talking about when Jesus comes back and Granny gets out of the grave. That's talking about today, September 20, what day is it? 2022. That is not talking about the dead in Christ shall rise first. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. My mortal body is dead in Christ, but I am not in a grave. For that to be, listen, I'll illustrate it this way, and if you want to talk about it, take me to Waffle House in the morning and we'll talk about it. For that to be talking about the resurrection from the dead, here's what would have to happen when Jesus comes back to get us. He would have to go in every grave and get in every one of our decayed bodies and quicken us. That is talking about today. Now, if you want to read it at a funeral, I'll say amen. But let me tell you, that's not talking about your funeral. That's not talking about your mausoleum spot or your grave spot. That is talking about today, the Holy Spirit of God quickening your mortal body so you can be just like Jesus. Our sister preached the message. It took her 2 minutes. It's going to take me 30. She said, part of me wanted to do it this way. The other part said, no. That's not going to honor God to do it that way. Respond this way, and I'll be pleased, and it's going to work out a whole lot better for you. How many of you have experienced that? I'm not talking about little white angel and little devil on the other side. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a godly way and a carnal, fleshly way to do it, and the godly way won, and you said, Jesus, you were right again. Now, that's what he wants for me every day, not just on the days when I'm on a spiritual high. That's what he wants on every day, not just on, especially on the days when I'm spiritually quite low. You follow me? That's what he's wanting for us. So number one, the extremes. Number two in verse 11 is the example. Look, what does he compare walking in victory to? Let me show you verse 11. Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. He compares my ability to walk in victory to the fact that he got Jesus up from the grave. And for me to sit here and go, I just can't do it, is putting limitations on his ability to raise his own son from the dead. Everything that God did to raise Jesus up from the grave on resurrection morning is living inside of Doug Raines this morning. Logan, come here, buddy. I don't mind. I appreciate you wanting to sit with your brother. If I had a brother in the Marine Corps, I would too. How old are you now? There we go. I mean, you had a birthday since the last time I asked you. As far as I know, he's the youngest of our children who's been saved lately. And if I'm missing it, forgive me. The power that raised up Jesus from the dead lives inside of him. That's why, Brother Rochester, as a school administrator, I'm not referring just to Mountain View. I'm talking about to my home church, my home pastor, an amazing ministry that God blessed for years and years. I never understood people when their children got to be 12, 13, 14, and 15, Christian. They do some of the, and I'd say, this is a problem. I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at your son. I don't think you're terrible people. I don't think he's a terrible person. But he's assured me he's born again. And he's also sharing this with his friends at school. This is a problem. And I don't care if he's 9 or 19, 29 or 89. If he's born again, he's got the Spirit of God living inside of him. There ought to be as much difference in a saved 9-year-old and a lost 9-year-old as there is a saved 30-year-old and a lost 30-year-old. I didn't ask him to act better than 9. That's not fair. Everybody help me now. That's not fair. Don't expect them to ask 8, 10, 8 or 12. It's not going to happen. But the last thing you need to do is say, well, I don't believe you're really saved. You better let that be a personal thing between them and God. Okay? Most of the time, you better be real careful with that. I'm trying to illustrate the point of what's in verse 11. And here's what it is, Ethan. New birth, new life. Right? Thank you. How does the Bible describe salvation in John chapter 3? You must be a new birth. New birth, new life. And I've used this one lately. I'm going to use it again. As long as we're in this passage, it fits more. Okay? It doesn't bother me, and I hope they don't get upset at me, but he's the best sermon illustration I got right now. It doesn't bother me when Sterling acts 20 months old. I don't expect him to act 4. But if he's 20 months old and he's acting 2, you follow me? We got a problem. And we wouldn't talk, they'd be going to Duke. They'd be going to Johns Hopkins in Baltimore. They'd be going all over the country trying to, if he's 20 months, acting 2 months. Brother Youngblood, you've been in these parts a long, long time. You know a bunch of people that name the name of Christ. They haven't grown one day since the day they said they asked Jesus to save them. Something's wrong. Don't be that person. If you're saved, and if you've all told me 3 times this morning you are, God lives inside of you and is working on you. You shall receive power, Acts 1:8. Preacher Raines used to define that word this way. He studied it deeper than I have recently. He said the word is dynamo. You've got a dynamite power plant inside of you helping you grow and live for Jesus. Say, Brother Raines, that's making the way my life this past week look pretty shabby. Amen. Glory to God. I want him to do that to me. I want him to say, man, to have so much power inside of you, you hadn't looked very powerful in the last 7 days. I want to, Michael. I'll use a very personal illustration. I thank you for the way you're listening. I've got a grandson. I love my 5 granddaughters. Everybody knows I love my granddaughters. They're amazing. Okay, but I'm glad there's a little 14-month-old with the last name Raines who's a boy. I can't help it. I'm just glad. And he's cute as a button. That don't help. He's got all the gifts and talents he'll ever have. I believe that. It's in his DNA. But it's up to us, mom, dad, a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, grandparents, aunts and uncles, to love him and get everything that God put in him out. Right? Did we not have an illustration of it this morning, first service and second? Did Connor just wake up this morning and go, man, I've been wanting to play guitar. Can't live in the mountains of Western North Carolina without playing. I just won't play. How many think that's what happened? Derek, how much did he practice and play? Can you estimate hours?